This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How the head of the Fed is keeping Wall Street folks chained to their desks ahead of the long holiday weekend. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The notes from a month-old meeting to be revealed this afternoon are guiding market psychology this morning. How seriously are the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve taking the weak economic data that started the year? Mark Lucchini is chief investment strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott.
Since the meeting that occurred and the minutes that are being released pertain to dates April 28th and 29th, which is a month removed from the first quarter, it will be interesting to see if there is any view with regard to a commitment that the transitory interpretation of that first quarter weak data has given the Fed more confidence that the economy is likely to strengthen and inflation is likely to give them reasonable confidence, their term, for hitting their 2% inflation target at some point later this year, and therefore put them on the path toward lifting interest rates to what is expected to be a September event.
We see here that the Greater Providence, Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce has quite a keynoter this Friday, no less than Dr. Janet Yellen. She is speaking there at 1 o'clock Eastern. I assume, Mark, you'll knock off early for the holiday weekend and pay no attention to the speech?
Well, while I certainly hope to do that, David, I will certainly at the same time have an eye on what's being said in the event that there is something material that comes from it that we will need to either react to before the close of business on Friday or prepare for when markets reopen the following week.
The always diligent Mark Lucchini, chief investment strategist at Janney Montgomery Scott. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Some other developments we're following today. A French cable company, Altice, is paying $9 billion to buy Suddenlink, the big cable company in Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and 16 other states. Billionaire Patrick Drahi runs Altice and started out selling cable TV service door-to-door in France. Separately, The Wall Street Journal is reporting today that Altice is interested in Time Warner Cable now that its merger with Comcast is off. Some 7 million Americans have defaulted on student loans in recent years, with an average debt of about $14,000. Now there's a push to make colleges chip in to cover some of that debt. Perhaps then colleges would have more incentive to ensure students don't end up with unsustainable loans. That's the topic at a Senate hearing today. Nova Safo reports.
Corey Seward is in his fourth year at Indiana University, and he's in debt.
Probably over $20,000, I'd imagine. The money is the only thing I really worry about. I don't worry about classes or grades.
His mom, Julie Watkins, is worried, too, about after graduation.
That's what I worry about, is how high his monthly payment's going to be.
The idea at today's hearing is to have colleges worry, too, says Ben Miller. He studies education policy at the Center for American Progress.
You want people to care about the debt beyond the day after they issue it and to make colleges somewhat financially responsible.
To do that, the Senate is considering whether colleges should pay back the federal government a portion of any defaulted debt. What portion is still up for debate? Pauline Abernathy of the Institute for College Access and Success supports the idea, but she says there are risks.
We don't want to provide any disincentive for schools to enroll low-income students who may, in some cases, have a higher risk of default.
The idea has bipartisan support, Abernathy says, but lots of details still have to be ironed out. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
In the woulda, shoulda, coulda category, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway would have been a stock to have. But what if, hypothetical, what if Buffett had run this like a hedge fund, an investment vehicle favored by the wealthy? Hedge funds typically charge significant fees, 2% on what you invest and 20% of profits, if any. These fees have been in the news after a year that many hedge funds didn't do all that well. Marketplace contributor and Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan finds this what-if scenario with Buffett's company enlightening. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David.
Warren Buffett, legendary money man. His Berkshire Hathaway doesn't use those rules. He's cheaper.
Oh, very much so. And this gentleman, Keith Goggin, a recovering journalist, he did this calculation starting in 1987. And you started with $2,900, which was the cost of a share of Berkshire then. And at the end of 2014, it was $226,000, which is a lot of money. You know, you would have made that all. However, if Buffett had run the company as a 2-in-20 hedge fund and he had reinvested his fees, according to Keith, you would have ended up with $69,600 and Buffett would have had something north of $156,000. So the manager, by reinvesting these fees, would have ended up with the bulk of the property over 28 years.
Now, still, even with the hedge fund 2-in-20 rules, had they applied to Berkshire Hathaway, the investor still would have made some pretty good money.
Oh, yeah. The investor would have beaten an S&P 500 fund, which I checked on Vanguard with. But the line I use is, although the return with the hedge fund's fees out is not chopped liver, it's not top-of-the-line steak, which is what Buffett was for investors without the fees.
Yeah, the fees, another reminder here, add up.
Indeed.
But here's the thing. Not everybody can get into a hedge fund. It's for fancy, sophisticated investors. If they're getting dinged on the fees, so what?
Well, I don't care particularly, but the world is changing, and hedge funds are now trying to market themselves to a broader audience.
Marketplace regular Alan Sloan is also columnist for The Washington Post. Alan, thank you.
Glad to be here, David.
And UBS of Switzerland and New York will pay $545 million to settle with U.S. authorities for its role in manipulating foreign currency transactions. The Justice Department's announcement on this was due this morning. It's not the only bank involved in the scheme, and other fines and settlements with other banks could come. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.